Our lesson tonight is in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 through 10. The marks of an authentic spiritual ministry. 2 Corinthians was written to defend the authenticity of Paul's apostleship and his message to a church of believers who were susceptible to heeding false teachers who critiqued him. Well, Paul noted that there were authenticating marks in a true spiritual ministry that made it very unique, unlike a false worldly ministry. The upright ministry, seeing the sufferings a servant of God faced, coupled with God's sustaining power amid those sufferings. So we view these authenticating marks of a true spiritual ministry for our insight and for our edification as follows. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored or helped thee. Behold, now is the accepted time, behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the servants of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold, we live, as chastened but not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. Interesting. Very interesting. The marks of an authentic spiritual ministry. Paul's team promoted the grace of God in salvation. That's a mark that you do not get in a false ministry. In a false ministry, you'll have an emphasis on works or an emphasis on helping yourself, but not on the grace of God. Well, opposite the false teachers who taught that salvation came by faith plus works of the law, Paul appealed to his readers not to have received the grace of God in vain, for salvation was entirely of God's initiative, and the era of that initiative was the current church era. It's interesting, this afternoon, after the worship service this morning, I was talking with a believer in one of the halls downstairs, wanted to know if I could recommend a book to give to a Catholic relative, in order to get them to see the light. And I thought, all of the books that I know when it comes to the Roman Catholic Church are very concrete, very realistic, and deal with a lot of depth. And unless a person is prepared and ready to leave the Roman Catholic Church, it can actually be a turnoff to the person. So you got to be really careful as to what's going on. But one of the marks I've noticed in the Roman Catholic Church, the Catholic Church does not teach the grace of God like you and I do. It teaches grace as kind of like a potion, right? But it's not the attitude. In our church, we teach God is gracious, namely, in attitude, he has unmerited favor. In the Catholic Church, that's not the case. The favor of God is always something that is merited by your self-help works, and that's different. So Paul emphasized anew God's call graciously to save people by faith in Christ. That is an interesting mark of a godly ministry. It's a ministry that focuses on grace, the grace of God. We are saved not by our merits, not by our works. We are saved because of the mercy of God. And that's a very important signal of a godly ministry. Second, Paul's team protected their credibility by righteous living. I don't know if you see this or not. It says, giving no offense in anything, verse 3, that the minister be not blamed. A false teacher's not that way. A false teacher will not obey Scripture if it's going to cost him a lot. He just doesn't want to do that. He'll give the impression that he's trying to obey God. But when push comes to shove, no, he won't obey the Lord. He'll give ground on that. Where a true ministry does everything in its power to protect its credibility by making sure that its methods are as pure as its goals and so forth. So it's very important. A truly spiritual ministry will seek to protect its credibility by righteous living. It will not fudge on anything. Then, Paul's team provided for their authenticity by mingling sufferings with God's sustenance. In verses 4 through 10, you have one of the most unique passages in Scripture, because it reveals the reality of a true spiritual ministry. And you have to understand the dynamics that are involved. If there's a person who's actually doing the will of God, he's relying on the Holy Spirit. Now, if he's relying on the Holy Spirit, he's going to be opposed by Satan. Satan doesn't like it. And so he'll do everything he can. He'll try to discredit that person. He'll try to discourage that person. He'll try to get that person to sin in order to hurt that person's testimony. And so you have this amazing paradox in a true ministry of very positive things and very negative things. You'll have grief mixed with joy. It's incredible. You'll have hardness that is thrust upon a person, and it's mixed with an amazing relief, for God will give a person a relief right out in the midst of the hardness. But Paul describes this in verses 4 through 10. First of all, his team exhibited great endurance in the face of persecution, troubles, hardships, distresses, beatings, and imprisonments, and even in riots. That's one of the great marks of a true ministry. There's an endurance. There's a buoyancy there. Now, a lot of people, I know, when they first hear about a minister, they want to get excited about it, but when they start off in the ministry and all of a sudden they run into troubles, uh-oh, maybe I missed the calling of God. I better get out of this ministry. That's the worst decision you can make in the world. Why? Because you're getting faced with Satan. What you want to do is resist the devil and he will flee from you. So we have to keep in mind, if it is a true ministry to which God has called us, it's not going to be just a bowl full of cherries. Cherries have pits, as you know. Sometimes it's full of the pits. So we've got to stay in there and trust the Lord. So expect trouble and hardship and distresses. And in Paul's case, beatings and imprisonments and riots. We don't have beatings and imprisonments and riots, but sometimes a person can beat you up with maybe words. People can do a lot with words that can hurt and do a lot of damage. So that's an area where a person can face the difficulty. Paul's team also willingly shouldered difficulties in the ministry itself, handed to them, such as hard work, sleeplessness, and hunger. One of the unique characteristics of the work of the Lord is that often it is very hard. There are difficulties that you will face in the ministry. Sometimes we've had difficulties with our copier machine, and for the life of me, you can't make the thing work. So you have to end up running down to Staples, and you put your 11, 12 bucks in, and you know, you get the stuff run off for everybody. And then finally, they figure out how to work it. I have a machine that, a computer, and when I want to get something printed off, I send a signal, and there's an electronic signal that goes from my computer, my room, all the way to the copy room, and it's supposed to work. Well, sometimes the passageway between my computer and the printer doesn't work, so I can't print anything out. So I've actually had to send information in my computer over to my computer at home, run things off there, and then we have it. So there are all sorts of little things that can run on and hurt. Anyway, hard work, sleeplessness. Sometimes there's a problem that comes up or a difficulty and we find it difficult. You wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning, you wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning, you wake up 4:30 in the morning, it's the same problem that's bothered you all night long. And that's something that is par for the course. Hunger, now, I haven't had too much problems with hunger. My problem is on the other end, the tendency to have too much to eat. But Paul faced hunger. But sometimes we can face shortages financially, or shortages by way of heat. I was talking with a believer today. He says, I've been trying to get the oil company to come and fill up my oil tank. He says, I'm down to a quarter of a tank. But what's happened is there have been so many people whose pipes have gone out and who have actually run out of heat that the oil company that he works with has actually done away with their regular schedule. They're just doing emergencies at this particular point, just meeting the needs of people. So he's breaking out a little bit in the cold sweat, running, I'm going to get my oil so that I can keep my house warm. So there are shortages there that we can face. However, offsetting both persecution, sufferings, and hardships of ministry itself were qualities of the inner man provided by the Lord. Qualities like purity, understanding, patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit's fruits, a sincere love, truthful speech, and the power of God to counter all satanic attacks from all directions. This is true. If you've been involved in serving the Lord, you will notice that just as things seem to get out of hand, then the Lord gives a peace. He gives a patience. He gives a sustenance within that gives you the motivation to keep on going. And those are evidences of God's work in your life, and he wants you to rely on that. And many times you get the sense that it's like an out-of-body experience. This perseverance and this patience, this long-suffering that you have, you know it doesn't come from you because you ran out of that 2 days ago, okay? But the Holy Spirit is providing that sustenance, and that's one of the evidences that God is carrying. It's a wonderful thing. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 8 through 10, Paul described ongoing mixtures of paradoxical opposites, negative and positive, that his team faced, likely due to the angelic conflict itself, as met by God's opposing successes and encouragements. For example, they experienced both glory and dishonor. Sometimes you will be highly complimented by a believer, and then 30 seconds later, you'll get one of the sharpest criticisms that you've ever had. And you sit there, your mind is reeling, and you wonder, what's going on? Where am I? Am I doing that which is pleasing to God or not? And what it is, it's the conflict between God and Satan. Sometimes you'll have both bad and good reports made by others about you. Sometimes others will say, oh, that person is just doing a terrible job. Others will say, man, this is the most wonderful Christian I've ever met. Being genuine from God's perspective, but being regarded by some people as imposters. As being known of God, yet unknown by men. As dying, but living on. As being beaten, but not killed. As being sorrowful, but rejoicing. As being financially poor, but making many rich. And as having nothing, but possessing all things from God's viewpoint. It was interesting, one time, not long ago, there were a couple of doctors who were absolutely convinced that I had cancer. Just absolutely convinced. So they convinced me, so I thought, okay, I'll get a biopsy. Had a biopsy, absolutely clear. there was just infection that was going on. And I suddenly realized, doctors don't necessarily know everything. Sometimes they're just wrong. They just don't know. So what I'm going to do is start using my own head. Yeah, you have to rely on doctors once in a while, but man alive. And one of these was a specialist, knew everything. But they didn't know it in this particular situation. And when I heard a doctor get the call come in from the lab, and all 8 of the cores were absolutely benign, he said, benign? What? And so she had to repeat it. And this was the head of lab technician at Charlotte Hungerford Hospital. So, as dying and yet living. I don't know if you've ever been in that kind of a situation, but this is where we rely upon the Lord. As having nothing but possessing all things from God's perspective, being financially poor but making many rich. The marks of an authentic spiritual ministry, in sharp contrast to the worldly perspective of ministry, involve promoting the grace of God and salvation. Righteous living that protects the testimony of one's ministry, and the paradoxical mingling of sufferings with God's sustaining power as one endures amid persecution and ministry difficulties, exhibiting godly characteristics and power to offset all satanic opposition, and the mingling of paradoxical opposites, negative and positive, with God's fitting and sustaining encouragements. Positively, may we then, in application, promote the grace of God in Christ's salvation. May we always back up our ministry efforts with righteous living, no matter what the cost. May we accept as normal the strange mingling of suffering with God's sustenance, persecution and ministry hardships coupled with inner character qualities produced by the Holy Spirit that always cause us to triumph in Christian ministry, and facing glory and dishonor, bad and good reports by others, being genuine in God's view but treated as imposters by men, being known of God yet unknown by men, as dying but yet still existing, as being beaten but not killed, as being sorrowful yet rejoicing, as being poor but made many spiritually rich, and as having nothing but possessing all things from God's view. Negatively, if everyone speaks well of us in our ministry, we should not rejoice, but recognize that we are in deep spiritual trouble somewhere. For the false prophets were well honored and complimented by all. In Luke chapter 6, verse 26, Jesus said, "Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did they their fathers to the false prophets that were before you." Very interesting. So we've got to be careful. Also, if we are fudging, rather on the grace of God and the salvation of Christ, we are not aligned with God's truth and we need to repent. If we are not backing up our ministry teachings with a life of biblical righteousness, we need to repent. Now, if we know only wealth, only fullness, only laughter, and only honor, may we realize that we are in spiritual trouble somewhere in our ministry efforts and we need to repent. When I look at Luke chapter 6, Jesus says in verse 20, "Blessed are ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are ye that hunger now, for you shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate from you from their company, and shall reproach you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice ye in that day, and leap ye for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the like manner did their fathers to the prophets. But woe unto you that are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe unto you that are full, for you shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep." Wow. Very interesting. The type of ministry that God has for us is a ministry that has a strange paradoxical mix of up and down, of negative and positive. And the reason is, when you minister, you're involved in an angelic conflict. It's a war, an actual war that is going on. And we need to recognize that. We need to live within the power of God and then function accordingly. Mr. Hansen, Wayne Hansen, some of you know of him. One time he asked me, this was years ago, he says, "Is everything running smoothly in your ministry?" And I thought, you know, this sounds like a loaded question, because he's a seminary prof, and I thought, I better be careful here. And I said, "Well, the Lord's blessing." He said, "Uh-huh." You know, he was waiting for me to come. But I said, "No, not everything is smooth." And then he said, "Good. You must be bothering the devil." And I thought, that's quite a response that he had. And that's true. If we're doing what we should be doing, we should be stirring up a hornet's nest somewhere. That doesn't mean that God wants us to go out and try to be difficult and try to make enemies out of people, not at all. But it does reveal that if we are ministering like we should, it's going to be a mixed bag. Yeah, there are going to be blessings. There are going to be ups. There are going to be positives. There's also going to be some intense negatives, because we're involved in a war. And as long as you remember that we're in a war, then we can handle it and function in righteousness.